And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Yana Shanaez. This episode, we're going to be discussing a 3-1 victory for Fulham against Preston North End at Craven Cottage. Later on, we're going to be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Leeds United. We have much to get through. Before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Janaeus, how you doing?
I am pretty good here, Russ. It's bloody cold here. I don't know what. I just had to walk the dog and I needed the willy warmers.
It's very cold here, Giannis. We probably got it from you.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bugger, although we've not had as much snow as you this year. I'm not going to complain, but it's mighty cold, for sure.
It certainly is very cold here, my friend, but enough talking about the weather. We've been doing that a great deal on Cottage Talk. Let's not talk about the weather. Let's talk about the football. So, great result. Fantastic result. A result I think they needed, Giannis. 3-1. I guess you could say 3-1 is a good scoreline. I think it really showed itself over the course of 90-plus minutes. But just share with me your opening thoughts on this victory here.
Well, it was an excellent win, and we were the better team on the day, as we've been a lot recently. We dictated play well, and it was I thought a very good game between two very good sides. Preston have sort of crept up into eighth place. Simon Grayson's done an excellent job there. We've basically, let's be honest, a team of no name stars, and I felt we'd beat them yesterday, but I like the manner in which we beat them. And I kept thinking after the game that our last game of the season up at Hillsborough against Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah, it's looming very, very large right now. Although until then, we've got Leeds United on Tuesday, and Leeds are playing very, very well at the moment. And I'll be stunned if it's not a full house at the Cottage. It should be a fantastic game against a team that I think we match up very, very well against. We've got the chance of going within 2 points of Wednesday, with a better goal difference as well. So it's a massive game. But I thought it was an excellent game yesterday, and I thought that we played very well.
So did I, Giannis. And what's interesting about watching this back, it's so good that we can watch the replay the next day. I listened to it, and like I said before, sometimes I get some things out of it when I watch it back from what I listened to. And it was interesting to see how we flowed in this game. I thought everything worked so well together. We dictated the play from the beginning to the end. We really did not give them much chance to do what they probably wanted to do. I could just tell that they were trying to get the ball, but they were having a hard time getting it. And they had a few opportunities. It looked like they were dangerous on the counter, and that showed itself. But beyond that, they really didn't have that many opportunities in this match. This had more to do with us.
Yeah, we really did dictate the play, and the assistant coach in a post-match press conference with the interview with BBC admitted that they were beaten by this better side, and we've once again seen a lot of that, or heard a lot of that recently, that we've been out really setting the tempo against teams, and I think the key for us is that we get a quick start and we get the first goal. I mean, is absolutely critical, and the fans yesterday were excellent, and I think it's going to be, I know we're thousands of miles away, but the game coming up is going to be one of those games that I'm going to desperately miss not being there for, because it's going to be a cracking atmosphere. Leeds always take a really, really big contingency. They'll fill up the away supporter stand, you can guarantee that. And we look like a team that doesn't just think that we can win, but we expect to win every game, and that's a team with confidence. And the teams from third to sixth are winning. And we, you know, again, it happened yesterday, but one of them's going to slip. It's a matter of course. And if we keep on winning, they're going to be some very nervy clubs third to sixth. So we just have, basically what I'm saying is we can control the direction of the team. We can control what happens and just hope that other teams around us slip up against other teams that are fighting for points at near the bottom. So, very pleasing win against a side that I have a lot of respect for, and against a manager that I have a lot of respect for too.
See, I'm right there with you. I have much respect for Simon Grayson and his team. Like you mentioned, there aren't many stars on that team, but there are players that do a job, and they certainly did a job. You know, they were trying to do what they wanted to do, but we wouldn't let them, and that really is more of a reflection of Fulham than Preston North End.
For sure.
All right, Giannis, an hour before the match, we see the starting 11, the 18. Thoughts on the starting 11?
Well, the first thing I thought, obviously, was Sessegnon had come in to the lineup for Malone. A bit of a surprise there, but, gut feeling, obviously. I think the big thing for me was Martin coming into the lineup when he wasn't even in the 18 last week. The setup of Aluko and Cabana out wide was very, very attacking. And I think it sent a clear message that if they were going to try and play what is normally their 4-4-1-1, that, you know what, we were going to come at them. And it's funny, our girls had a game last night, same, we play, you know, with a holding central midfielder with three strikers, and we were playing a game, it was 1-2 last night, and putting three strikers is a real problem for opponents because it really brings fullbacks into play. And it sends a message you're going to attack. And Martin led the line very well yesterday. And the lineup was good. I mean, it was, there could have been question marks about Odoi not being on the bench, not playing, starting Syriac. But overall, I had few complaints with the lineup.
Okay, very good, my friend. And what's interesting about the lineup, and I think it played itself out, we really flowed as a unit.
Yes.
It was interesting to see, like you mentioned, Sessegnon, this very attacking side all together. And then, like you mentioned, Martin being back in the mix and to see if he would be that focal point and to see if it would all work together. It did. So we'll definitely talk about that moving forward. But like you mentioned, the big decisions I saw was the inclusion again of Chris Martin and also Sessegnon.
Yeah, all right. For sure.
All right, my friend, let's now get to the first half. I jotted down some observations and definitely want your thoughts on what you saw there. Let's start with the 16th minute. You have a situation here. Sone Aluko is brought down right outside of the box, and we are awarded a free kick. But here's the question for you. Was this a penalty? Was this inside the box? So I definitely want your observation there because I've watched this a few times. So I'm not sure about this, so definitely want your expertise on this. And then 5 minutes later, you have the goal by Sone Aluko. This is set up nicely by Niskanen Cabana, who I thought had a very good game. So want your thoughts on that. Then a little bit later on, 10 minutes later, you have Sessegnon, who has a shot on target, but Maxwell makes the save. Then in the 36th minute, 5 minutes later, you have a shot by Kevin McDonald. And then later on, I want to say in the 40th minute and in the 45th minute, you have a couple of opportunities by Tomas Kalas off of corners. So Fulham definitely had their opportunities. Obviously, we have the goal. But I want your observations of the first half. And let's start with that situation in the 16th minute, Giannis.
I'm laughing because I've seen the replay a few times. I think it might have been... I'm still not sure.
Okay,
I'm going to be honest. I'm still not sure whether that could have been given as a penalty. I'm still going to look at it again just to see if I can be definitive. It was, and it's funny because for the listeners, if they get a chance to watch highlights of the, it wasn't a good weekend for refereeing.
No.
Anybody watched the Swansea versus Burnley? The most outrageous penalty I think I have ever seen given, ever. A player handballs it and is given a penalty. I mean, it was, and then he gave an even up corner in injury time, which won Swansea the game. The Fulham fans weren't very happy about it. But having said that, then the goal was set up, and it was brilliant interchange. Cabano's knockback was quick and decisive, but Cabano's finish was even better, and that's the key to good strikers. They don't bring the first touch into play, they don't measure it up, they don't give the keeper the time to set up. The ball's come across and he's hit it first time. Defenders come a bit short, but it's tremendous finishing, and really Maxwell stood absolutely no chance in that. It was a very, very fine goal, and it was quality. And actually, to be fair to Preston, the few times that they did venture through, they showed some quality even with their goal, which I thought was an excellent goal. Yep. And it just goes to show, it's that old adage about the ball was travelling quicker than the man, and speed kills. Quick shots are a nightmare for a keeper because they can't get set. The feet aren't ready. And that goal by Aluko was real quality. It didn't have to be 40 yards out, but the fact that he hit it first time,
that wasn't easy, Giannis.
No, it wasn't easy at all. It was a very, very good goal. But it's symptomatic of the not just the quality, but the confidence at which the players are playing, that they can take the shot. And that is team confidence, too. It's not like you feel you need to take that first touch and give the defender the opportunity to close down. It was good finishing, and it was a quality goal. And we had opportunities after that to have made it 2-0. We were creating chances, and we had possession, which I thought was key, lots of possession, and we were really stretching Spur and Cunningham out wide as fullbacks. They were having absolute nightmares with our speed. And what I thought was important is that, you know, on paper, and certainly because of his craft, McGeady's the best player they've got. He's, you know, a quality player, great, great pedigree. And he played well in spits and spurts, but we really sort of took him out of the game because of our movement. A lot of it was to do with the movement of the strikers, where he was having to cover, and also in terms of the mobility in the centre of the park. So when you can impose your will on a team and you nullify the, you know, the impact of the best players, the opposition throughout you, it's a win-win situation.
I hear you, Giannis. Before we go to the second half, there's one thing that I want to mention that showed itself in the first half and definitely showed itself in the second half as well. Is when we had corners, they were quick, very quick, to get the ball up front to their players. And this is something that concerns me moving forward. What can we do better off of our own corners that can not let us so open to these counterattacks, because they're quick and teams try to take advantage of us off of our own corners? Talk about that. I'm curious your thoughts on how we can better... these situations.
That's a very good question. I think the rule of thumb should always be that we keep three at the back, and that's first and foremost. It's nice to throw the numbers forward, but you've always got to make sure you've got cover, and hopefully you've got one of your slower midfielders. Hopefully you, unless you got unless you have a holding central midfielder, and that's not the way we were set up yesterday. But if you've got a holding central midfielder who's not as quick as maybe the other two, make sure that they drop back for the very quick counter-attack, which is what they had. I think with attacking midfielders, if you have enough prowess up front, and we do, then I think you can afford to keep the one extra player back to try and nullify any potential very, very quick great break. You can see where Preston have caused a lot of problems, especially at home with the quick break. They're clever. Grayson's a clever manager, and he used to do the same thing at Leeds United. Leeds were very, very used to be a very cagey team that would nick you up on the break. You know, they'd soak up the pressure, and when they broke with venom. And I would probably, I mean, this is something that Slava will look at. I'd be inclined to make sure that I've got at least three defenders back, possibly go four, even if you're only marking one or two. Because at the end of the day, you still don't want to concede goals. And if you think that you've got the strikers that can cause problems from set pieces, like corners, then maybe you can go a little bit conservative. It might sound a bit boring, but we've got the height up there, and we've got players that can score goals from set pieces. So, you know what, you got to do your homework here. If it's a team that's not as quick on the break, maybe you can commit an extra body. But Preston are one of the better sides in the division at doing this. And I think really, if we, you know, coming up, I'm not so sure Leeds United are like that. But certainly when we come up against Sheffield Wednesday, similar team there. And you've got to, you know, keep the extra body back. And unless, of course, you're going for a break on the last minute and you've got to throw players up there.
Okay, very good there, my friend. It's just something that I noticed throughout the match and in other situations and other matches. We are vulnerable here, and it's something that scares me moving forward. That's why I wanted to talk about it, and thank you for your opinion on that. All right, let's move to the second half. There's a good amount that went on in the second half, and let's start right off in the 50th minute. Niskanen, like I mentioned, I thought he was very good in this match, hits the crossbar. Then 2 minutes later, you have a great opportunity from Preston North End. David Button makes a great save on a shot from Horgan. I thought Horgan was good for them. And this is a nice save by David Button to keep the score at what it was. And then in the 60th minute, you have the goal by Chris Martin, which was set up nicely by Ryan Fredericks. But this was overall good play from Fulham that led up to this goal. And then Fulham are up 2-0. But Giannis, as we've seen on several occasions, that lead is not safe because only 7 minutes later you have the goal by Barkhuizen. Again, he gets behind Ryan Sessegnon and beats David Button. But I want your analysis of this whole situation. Was this about Ryan Sessegnon, or was this also? I think it was our center back there. I want to say it. I'm not sure which one it was. It might have been Ream, but definitely want your thoughts on who was at fault here that gave them the goal again.
Well, the goal, I believe, started with a Aluko, but the ball from Fredericks was sublime, absolutely sublime. And he's taking a little run forward. It's a beauty. It's what we like to call the killer pass, and it's a killer pass. And Martin's finished it with aplomb, and that's why he's over there. And just to mention here of Jokanović, masterstroke by Jokanović. He's benched Martin last week. We still don't know the details.
Yeah.
And he's brought him into the 11. I mean, his man management is almost Brian Cloughish, because he knows how to press the buttons, turn the dials. And Martin had a good game yesterday, but that was a lovely finish. It was a lovely move. It was, again, you watch the whole game, and I'm sick to bollocks of hearing people talk about, Premier League quality and, what they're doing. And you look at Championship, the level of, footy in the Championship, and it's excellent. Even in League One, even League Two, you've seen with FA Cup games this year where lower league teams play really, really good football, and they deserve even more credit because they're playing on pudding bowl fields. But Fredrik's ball, that was absolutely superb. The goal that Preston North End scored, I thought Gentleman Jim was a little harsh on the defenders here. Because he was talking about, habit of giving up, being able to, give what tantamount to giving up silly goals. But the ball by McGeady to Barkhuizen was absolutely fantastic.
It was
a pearl of a pass, and it's a very difficult one to defend. You can argue all you want about where's the defending, but when it's like that ball that Fredericks knocked to Martin, difficult to defend, and Barkhuizen made an absolutely perfect run, and it's a lovely finish. And sometimes, guess what? You've got to give credit to the opposition for creating a move that a sliced you in two, where it's really a matter of millimeters, and it's a beautiful ball. McGeady's an Irish international. He's played for Celtic. He's played for Locomotive Moscow. This guy's a quality player, tremendous skill. And it was a fantastic ball, and it was a great finish. It's one of those goals where I sit there and I've got to applaud. I don't really think I'll back forward. Maybe Sessegnon's slightly caught up, but man, I mean, he's a young pup. I could hardly call that a mistake when a ball like that comes in. That's just, I could almost say, well, so who had McGeady then? Then maybe then you could maybe level a criticism. But when he puts a ball in like that, you've got to applaud it. And I mean, proof of point, Russ. Last night we were at a game and we've got seven trick corners. And we run numbers. I call the numbers from the sidelines. And one of them involves a ball that's played right to the edge of the box, which is dummied by one of our central midfielders and then cracked by a holding central midfield. And last night we did it, and she hit it from 25 yards out, and she couldn't have hit it any better. And the keeper, I don't know, you're talking about 15-yard goals, made as good a save as I've seen anyone make in years. I don't know how she got down to it. It was brilliant, tipped around the corner. Sometimes you just got to, you know, both sets of parents, you know, cheering and applauding. You got to give your dues. It is what it is. You know, somebody makes a great play, somebody makes a good save, good shot. And McGeady's pass was something of just beauty. It was lovely, lovely passage, and it's a goal that they deserved. So I'm reluctant to criticise our back four for that.
Okay.
It was a lovely goal, and they're not eighth for no reason. They're a nice team, and Preston are not by no means the biggest club in the division. They're a pretty, you know, the pretty small club, great history, but small club. And I thought it was a really, really nice goal.
Okay.
And then we scored the third goal.
Right, right. And I'm just about to get there, but let's get back to this because I mentioned the mistake. But to your credit, Giannis, and we do this all the time. We look for the mistakes, but sometimes you just need to give credit to the other team. So I'm glad that you said that. And then, of course, listen, Ryan Session is a young player. He's going to learn from that situation. And then, of course, I believe it was Tim Ream on that as well. But goodbye you for giving the praise to the actual other team, because the more you think about it, it was a great pass. And sometimes it has more to do with what they were doing rather than what we were not doing. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was a lovely goal. It was a lovely goal.
Okay. Okay, I'm glad that you said that, because I'm quick to blame, too. I'll blame myself. You know, I am. I'm quick. Oh, what did we do here? But I'm glad that you looked at it from the other side there. Now let's talk about the third goal, the Niskanen-Cabano goal, because what's interesting here, Giannis, and we've now been seeing Cabano in several matches, I think you're starting to see the player that he really is. I don't think that we saw that enough in the beginning. There are other players ahead of him. Finally now, I think you're starting to see a player that can be a striker. He could play the Aite role. I just think he's a goal scorer, because I think he's showing this now to us. Talk about the goal by Cabano.
It was an excellent goal, and Maxwell's really got no chance again. He's finished it near post, and I've been on a few website, you know, supporters websites for Preston, and some fans have been critical of this goal, that they thought that Maxwell could have had it.
I don't think so.
No chance. He's got no chance with that. He's Cabano's finished a beautiful ball by Aluka. And Aluka, I thought, was excellent yesterday. He's a clever player, but again, proof positive, when you've got players who individually have got a lot of confidence, and a team that has a lot of confidence, great things happen. Cabano is playing out of his skin right now, and it was a lovely, lovely finish. And again, I mean, you could say, well, Preston fans are going, well, where was the marking? Well, it's a sublime ball, and it's a sublime finish. And you turn around and you say, hey, that was a hell of a goal.
It was.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to applaud. You know, this is such a great game, and it's you know, often we do talk about the mistakes and the errors, and unfortunately this week wasn't the weekend for errors from players. It was more like officials, as tough a job as they have. But all four goals that were scored in that game yesterday were excellent goals, and you just got to, you know, you tip your hat off. And you say, well, that's incredible. That's you know, Cabano's cracked it in. Maxwell's got no chance. He's, you know, what's he supposed to do? And Preston may not. Preston, this was a big six pointer for them. Preston aren't out of the woods yet in terms of, you know, the ability to get into the top six, because I see scope for Preston actually nicking in with Fulham. I do. I think at least one team will slip, and maybe two. And better them than Norwich. I mean, Norwich took an absolute pasting yesterday up at Hillsborough.
They did.
But Preston are a good side. And Grayson's an excellent manager. And he'll be disappointed with the loss, but they'll bounce back. That much I know. And but they came up against a better team yesterday. And we are a better team than most in the division. We've got some delicious little games coming up. Leeds is going to be an absolute corker. The game up at St James's Park against Newcastle, I think it's going to be an absolute cracker, because they're in for an enormous surprise. Leeds are actually in for a surprise. Because if they think they're coming down to come and get 3 points, they've got another thing. The way we're playing right now, I'd be running scared. A win would put us 5 points behind them with the game in hand.
I know.
So, I mean, it is, as well as they're playing, them, Huddersfield, Reading and Wednesday are all playing well, but we're playing better. And it's a scary thought. So, but listen, the four goals go in, and that Cabano loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. And, of course, Gentleman Jim with his, come on! but it's nice when you play good football and you, all that possession actually results in something. 70-odd percent again yesterday. Fantastic.
That's right. That's right, my friend. And I was just about to go there because now let's look at the full-time stats here. 71% possession for Fulham, 29% for Preston North End. Total shots, 15-8 in favor of Fulham. On target, 8-4 in favor of Fulham. So we're pretty much almost doubling them in several categories here. Corners, 9-1, Giannis, in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 26-9 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, 25-19 in favor of Preston North End. Attempted passes, 652-272. Attacking passes, 359-85. Passing accuracy, this is a stat I like to look at. We like to be at 80%. Giannis, we were at 86% to 70% for Preston North End. Accurate passes, 566-191 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels slightly in favor of Preston North End at 15-13 in fouls, 10-7 in favor of Preston North End. All right. Yeah. What stands out to you with these full-time stats, Giannis? Besides the possession, that's an obvious one. Anything else stand out?
Passing accuracy. Passing accuracy. I know it's a broken record because viewers have heard this all the time. And you know, we coach it on our end about, I mean, our game last night, I think we must have had about 80%. When you have the ball, you can do good things, especially if you're a technically good side and you're comfortable on the ball, because you're forcing teams to run round rings. And, you know, it is a beautiful game when it's played properly. It's an easy game to play, but it's tough to play really, really well. And when you look at what we did to Preston yesterday, the amount of work that obviously Slava and the coaching staff put in on the training ground in terms of first touch, in terms of accuracy of passing, short, medium, long, in terms
of... The passing was excellent.
The movement of the ball might be even more impressive than that. It's fun to watch. It's one of those where you say, well, I paid good money to watch this because this is entertaining me. This is fun. And when you got passing accuracy of 86%, you really, really can't go wrong. And what I think is tragic, I suppose, in the game of football is that fans of Premier League teams pay, skyrocketing prices to watch often football that isn't very good. The common man can't afford that if you add in, parking and hot dogs and coffee and home and away jerseys and paraphernalia and all that sort of stuff. And yet at the end of the day, it's still 22 players with one ball. And it is called football. It's to feet. It's not to, sometimes to chest, sometimes to head, but it's called football. And in this division, it's not just us. There are some very, very good sides that play excellent, excellent footy. I'm going to say Brighton are fun to watch. Huddersfield are fun to watch. Sheffield Wednesday a good side to watch. Preston are a good side to watch. And even the teams at the bottom, like Burton Albion, who have no right to be in the division, but work hard and do try and play good footy with an excellent manager. It's what it's all about. And, yep. We do want to get back into the Premier League, don't get me wrong. But we must never bastardise the league we're part of and the sort of football that we do play and the sort of football that the other teams play too. This is an excellent division and a very, very tough division too. And I usually shut people up when they start talking about Premier League and quality because I say, well, Derby County had 30,000 out yesterday, they're not going to get promoted this year. But we've got ravenous clubs in this great clubs in this division and great fans too. So, and the quality of foot is actually very, very good. So,
I agree. Yeah, I totally.
I fly the flag for the division. I do. I'm not gonna. I laugh at teams, as you know, but I'm not gonna. The only one I can probably just laugh at, you know, really ridicule is Rotherham because they're terrible. They're terrible. That's.
But beyond that, every team is extremely competitive, and that's what makes it interesting each match.
Yes, it does. And teams, you always say even in the Premier League, the fun battles, it's often more fun at the bottom than it is at the top. I mean, in our division right now, Rotherham are going down as quick as a curry on a Saturday night. But you've got Burton Albion, who are fighting for their lives. You've got Wigan Athletic. You've got Blackburn, who got a very, very big win yesterday.
Yeah.
Bristol City are struggling like hell right now.
You got Wolves down there too.
And the battles at the bottom are often as riveting as the ones at the top. In fact, sometimes more riveting. So, and they're not bad. I mean, Blackburn are not necessarily the worst side, and they've got some decent players, but that's a measure of the division.
Absolutely.
So, but back to us, you know, it's an excellent win. And it's an exciting time of the year because we don't have dead games coming up. It's not like there's 11 games and none of them are going to mean everything. Look, we can bask in the celebration of yesterday. And now we've got Lards United coming in on Tuesday night. And that will be an absolute corker of a match Tuesday. Absolute belter. And I can't wait.
Well, I look forward to previewing that in just a few minutes, Giannis. But one thing that I want to talk to you about before we go to Man of the Match and rating Slavica is we're talking about how they played and how everything flowed together. So I want to focus on three players that were included in this match. Niskanen Cabano, instead of Floyd Ayite, I know Cabano has been playing, but I want to talk about where he played.
Yeah.
Because he played on the left where Ayite would be playing.
Yeah.
Then you have Chris Martin coming in to be the focal point. And then, of course, you already mentioned Sessegnon. So let's talk about those three players and what they meant to in this match. Did they help it flow all together?
Yes, they did. And I think a lot of credit has to go into Slava here because I think what he's doing is he's looking to manage energies with the run-up coming up. We've basically got, you know, we're going to be getting two games a week for a little while. And there are players that if they've got little niggles, he's going to rest them, you know, or give them a chance to sit in the sidelines and take a look at what's going on. And I don't think – and the other thing about him, about Slava that I do like is he doesn't seem to have any grudges. You know, someone like Ragnar Sigurdsson has struggled. I think we can safely say that. But Sigurdsson has made it onto the bench. But then he's smart enough to – you know, help to support the loan out of players like, you know, like Humphreys and Williams and Viggo Christensen and Corley Woodrow, who are all playing well for their clubs, which is great for our club because they come back and they'll bring great competition. What I'm trying to say is that his man management has been excellent. Cabano is gives a slightly different look from Ayite, but obviously he's looked at Preston as well and felt that he and Aluko are going to give problems out wide. And yep. Then Martin would be a better fit against Huntington and Clark, the central twosome for North End at the back. And as it turns out, it did. So this is a guy that whose devil is in the detail and he's planning. And I think and there's two ways to coach. You can either coach with a good lineup that's going to pose its will and not give a bollocks about who you're playing against. Or you can look at it where you make slight shifts, but you try and counteract what you think the opposition is going to do because you say, okay, are they going to have this? This could trouble them. Ayite in a game like this may not be as effective as, for example, a Cabana. Now, Ayite, I would expect to play Tuesday. And that's a measure. That's a measure of...
Well, Giannis, he might be out, just to clarify. He might be out because in Slavisa's... interview that he did with Sarah, he mentioned that it was 99.99% that he would be out for these next two matches. He could be ready for Newcastle. So I have a feeling that Ayite could be out and you could see Cabano in that role again.
Well, that's actually good news because that now shows our strength in depth. And I think if you look at last year, take the position out, we had some strength in breadth, but we really didn't have it in depth. And if you look at our bench right now, you know, as an example, you've got Ciriak, who's new, that can bring things to the table. Piazon, let's not forget, is injured. Scott Parker could come on and plug a hole. Maddle's got tremendous experience, obviously, at the back. Adoy has the ability to come on and give us a lot of good width. Scott Malone has had a very good season. You know, our little friend Jazzy Richard scored an own goal yesterday, lest we forget. And Marcus Bettinelli could consider himself, you know, very unlucky not to be starting. But Button had the one point in the first half where he decided he was going to be a centre-back and head the ball at the edge of the box in the first 20 minutes. That almost caused us problems. But then he made some good saves. So he's a Jekyll and Hyde character. Having said that, it's indicative of the strength. Look at the players who are not on the bench or the players that have been loaned out. And, you know, I see Fulham fans having a moan and a groan in the week about, you know, Musa, and I've mentioned it's Musa up at Celtic. My cat is called Luna. Oh, I should really call her Loony because she's in heat at the moment. But her name might as well be Percy, and you can bring her off the bench up at Parkhead, and she could score for Celtic because it's a terrible league, and they're making Musa look like Messi. So we're pretty quick to lament players that are gone. Would we need a Moussa Dembélé? I wouldn't want him in this lineup. I don't think he'd fit. Because the one thing about Musa was, I don't necessarily think he was the greatest team player. Whereas you got players like Cabana and Aluko and Piazon and Martin, certainly to an extent, and Aite, the team players. Right. And this team is functioning as a team. I don't know where Musa would fit in this team, really, honestly. And that is what has got us to seventh place. And that's why Preston are in, what, ninth now. It's teams that win the day. And there's no individualism here. Even Kearney, who's arguably our best player, is not an individualistic. He's about team. No, so
he's totally about team. And that's what's interesting about this, Giannis, is us. And I really think it showed itself in this match where they played together as a unit. And you could really see it. Like you said, off the ball and the way that they were playing for each other. And that, to me, it really showed itself in this match. And that's why I wanted to bring up these three players being included. And that maybe... Well, in the case of Aite, he was out and Cabana was already being put in. But obviously bringing Martin back and Sessegnon and them all fitting and playing a certain role, it all just worked. And I think part of it had to do with who they were playing. Like you said, it was playing against the opponent, and they had a game plan for this opponent, and it certainly worked very well.
Yes, it
all right. Did. All right, my friend, I definitely want to preview the upcoming match, but before that, quickly, who was your man of the match and a rating for Savisa?
Oh, Lord have mercy. I debated this one. I'm going to give it to Cabana. Give it to Cabana because I thought, although I think very closely followed by Aluko. I loved Aluko's work off the court.
Great.
Yeah, he was great yesterday. Great first goal. Really was, you know, architect to start off the second goal. Set up the third goal, but Cabana's movement was excellent. He looks like he's really rounding into form right now. It's a good combination, you know, leading to the Lards United game Tuesday, and I think we're going to give Lards a lot of trouble. I really do. I think there are areas in the park where we could cause them just major headaches, as well as they've been playing. I think they've got Achilles heels that we can certainly go after.
I totally agree, my friend. All right, real quick on Slavica rating.
Got to give him a 9.5, probably. I mean, I'm not sure what more he could have done. The lineup was right. The subs were good. He's riding the wave now of confidence. He's, you know, everything he's doing is turning to gold. He's confident. The coaches are confident. The players are confident. The fans are happy and they're confident, and it was the right lineup and the right changes in the game that got us the win in the end.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's now start our preview, and I got some information for you from WhoScored.com that I'm going to be sharing with you in just a second. But before we do that, let's look where both teams are In the league, Leeds United are currently fourth, 20 victories, 4 draws, 11 losses. They've scored 49. They've given up 35. They're on a plus 14 goal differential and are on 64 points. Fulham are seventh with one game in hand on Leeds United. That's an important fact that I just want to mention. We have 15 victories, 11 draws, 8 losses. We've scored 59. We've given up 40. We're on a plus 19 goal differential, which is really good right now. And we are on 56 points. Here are some characteristics of Leeds United from whoscored.com. Strengths: finishing scoring chances, counterattacks, protecting the lead. Weaknesses: they are weak at defending set pieces, avoiding individual errors. They're very weak at aerial duels and avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. Style play: attempt through balls often, attacking down the right, short passes. They play with width, playing in their own half, and they do have a consistent first 11. They tend to play a 4-2-3-1 under Gary Monk, and their leading goal scorer is Chris Wood with 22. He is dangerous. He is a poacher. He does know how to score goals. I just want to keep that in mind. Yeah. He will take advantage of his opportunities and take advantage of your weaknesses. So that's something to keep in mind here. If you make a mistake, he will take advantage of it. That was the one thing that I noticed when I looked back and was watching some video of Chris Wood and Leeds United, and I actually watched some of their last match. And this is a team that did not have much possession, but they took advantage of their opportunities. That's who they are. That's what happened when we played them at Elland Road. They got a goal at the last minute to get the draw. And yeah, that's kind of how they're built. You know, on the face of it, Giannis, I got to tell you, I feel that we should beat this team. But this team knows how to win. They're very well coached, and they will take advantage of our mistakes. That's what scares me about this. But this is a winnable match, my friend. I know they're fourth. We can and we should win this match. So your opening thoughts on this match against Leeds United?
Yeah, it's funny about Chris Wood. Chris was the top goal scorer in the championship. And a Kiwi as well. So
yes,
I mean, what money would you get? You know, get a little bored of the Dwight Gales. Dwight Gale is this and Dwight Gale is but that. Let's not forget Dwight Gale is a bench player in the Premier League, but he can score lots of goals against a lot of them. United, that's great. This is a game that I wouldn't be surprised if we hammer them. I really would not. Gary Monk is a good manager. He's done a very good job with them. And as you said, they've got a pretty steady lineup. But as he showed in that, we almost had that riot up at Leeds Road when Leeds United played Huddersfield Town and he got suspended. He's a temperamental little bugger. And he knows this is a big game. Now, I know that would have been, of course, the all Yorkshire derby. The winner gets to take the girlfriend home for the evening. Hopefully, I'm not offending too many Yorkshiremen now. I think that this particular game, if you look at the way they're set up and their lineup, I think we're going to cause them a boatload of crap. They were very fortunate against Birmingham City on Friday night. They had 39% possession.
I know.
And Birmingham played really, really well. And they took their chances when they needed to. But Chris Wood is going to have his hands full with Kallas and Ream. They're going to be, I will tell you right now, they'll have been prepping this game for probably weeks. They will be very, very ready. I'd be very surprised if he gets a lot here. In goal, Robert Green is always prone to the odd howler. You usually get one every couple of games. That's for sure. If you get the ball off Wood, I think really, where is the danger going to come from? Well, Leeds, I've got a couple of very good friends who are Leeds fans, talk about a lad that they picked up, Pedraza Sag, who scored against Birmingham Friday night, who can cause problems. Would he start against us on Tuesday night? I'm not sure. But if we've got the same lineup as we had yesterday against Preston North End, I think we'll roast them. I really, really do. Back early in the season when we drew up at Elland Road, we were the better side then, and they were not playing very well. Now, they're a vastly improved team, but so are we.
Exactly.
And they're coming around, and in our neck of the woods. Where I think we'll undo them, Russ, is with pace. Birmingham City are not a particularly quick side.
But we are.
And this is going to be one where If they're getting 39% possession against Birmingham, what in hell's name will they get against us? This is going to have to be one where, if I'm Monk, I'm saying, we're going to have to batten down the hatches and try and see if we can produce something we did early in the season. They can't come and attack us, because if they do, we'll strip them bare. This, to me, this has all the makings, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. This has all the makings of a 5-0 drubbing.
Wow!
I really think we could roast them. I really do. And this is no disrespect to Leeds. They've done tremendously well in the fourth by merit. But right now we're playing that well, and their lineup is not brilliantly set up for the sort of pace and guile and use of width and support passing.
So for you, this is really to do with the matchup, with the way we match up with this team.
I would be scared out of my bollocks if I was a Leeds right now. It's a long journey down on the M1, and I doubt they're going to be looking forward to this one. Birmingham City, brilliant. Okay. You know, they're not going to get relegated. They got a new manager. You know, Zola's trying to set things up. I get that. But they're coming down to a team that is as hungry as hell. You know, we're out looking for blood. And our results have been proving that, you know, we're arguably the informed team in the division right now. And Leeds will not fancy their chances. And they're not playing them at Elland Road. Okay, this isn't playing in front of 15,000 at St Andrews. I'll be stunned if we don't have a full house on Tuesday night. I think that the atmosphere is going to be rabid, and we're smelling a chance here. We're smelling it, and hey, you know the Yorkshire teams hate each other anyway, and I doubt that you know. You don't have to say to a Leeds fan, well, Sheffield ones are saying, oh, do us a favour and beat Fulham. You know, I'm sure there'll be some F words in return there. But Leeds know they're in a fight of their lives for this one. And it's a game that's extremely winnable. And I'm expecting us to win. I just, same lineup as yesterday. And I'm expecting us to beat them.
Okay.
I think Leeds are a better matchup for us than Preston are. I really do, and it'd be nice to stuff the lads.
Okay, you're feeling really confident. You've already said that you would go with the same starting 11. So I'm not going to ask you that. But if you're Slavisa, what's his game plan to beat this team?
Attack the buggers. Attack them. Attack. Just go at them. You're 5 points behind with the game in hand. There's no point. Don't change the recipe. Just go at them. Go at them. You know what? Nothing's going to shut up the Yorkshiremen than a quick goal. That'll shut them up nice and early. And once we score early, we'll smell blood. I think that, you know, if I'm Monk, I'm looking at this going, okay, well, Kearney, you've got the craft. Johansson, you've got the mobility and you've got the craft. McDonald, you've got the guile and the craft. You've got these three buggers up front. Martin's going to give them enough problems in the middle. If he's playing like he did, and he had a good game yesterday. Cabana's Aluko is going to give them cause absolute ructions. You got Syriac that can potentially come off the bench. You got Fredericks and Sessegnon that can make the overlapping runs. We've got the ability to hit them in terms of set pieces. If Button can get the quick distribution from the back going, it's going to bring their fullbacks more to play. They're going to have to do a really quick job in terms of transition from attack to defence. There are areas in the park where Leeds United are going to go, we're looking at nightmares. It's like Blitzkrieg if we get going. We have a lot of weapons to hurt you with. It's just not a good matchup for Leeds. It's just not good. And if I'm them, I'm buying lots of Bibles and I'm having a good prayer on the trains or the coaches coming down, because they may just need it.
Wow. You're very confident there, my friend.
I am about this. Yeah, I am.
I understand. I understand where you're coming on this, that it is about the matchup. My number one concern for all of this is Chris Wood. And you feel confident that Ream and Collis can handle him.
Yes, I do. And that's taking nothing away from Wood. Wood is a sniper. The only proviso is going to be you cannot give him time. You cannot give him room, because he's your natural sniper. He finishes beautifully. He's a player who has got pedigree, and probably some would argue could see. Whereas, you know, people will argue the toss about Dwight Gayle playing in the Premier League, I think that Chris Wood happens to be a Premier League striker. I do. I think he, you know, his finishing ratio is excellent. Was Gale sometimes flat? Gale to me is a very, very poor man's Ian Wright.
Okay.
And that's about the best. And not that Gale's not a bad player, because I think he's a decent player. But Ian Wright was a sniper extraordinaire that just didn't just score goals, but created chances, and his movement off the ball was sublime. Chris Wood is just a simple player. But, you know, first touch is good, but he'll shoot quickly, and his pedigree is there.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's wrap this up with your prediction for the match.
I'm going to say 3-0 Fulham.
Wow.
I think Leeds will be going up a little bit heavier than when they came down, hence the reference to term Lards.
I love it. Okay, very good, my friend. Listen, I am going to go with a scoreline close to you. I'm going to say 3-1. I think that they will score. I am still concerned about Chris Wood. I hear what you're saying, but I'm concerned because I've seen it so many times this season. I've watched a good amount of Leeds United. I respect them, but I do understand where you're coming on the matchup. I think it is about the matchup that this is not a good matchup for them with us. I think that we could take advantage of their weaknesses here. So I understand why you're going with 3-0. I'm going to say 3-1. All right. All right, my friend, let's wrap up the show. Great show. Thank you so much for doing this with me, Giannis. Final thoughts before we go.
Well, I'm going to have a bit of rest and a little bit of vertigo this morning, but feeling a little bit better.
Looking forward to
Tuesday's game. And I just wanted, my final thought is actually, I put something on a few of the Fulham websites. I wanted just a little bit of a shout out to Leighton Orient, who one of London's oldest clubs who, for many years, were run very well by a guy called Barry Hearn, and I've got an Italian owner and are really struggling. They had a big win yesterday against Newport County away, but they're second from bottom in League Two, and it looks like they could go into receivership. So they're doing a GoFundMe page. I've put a bit of money into that, and I hope Fulham fans do too. I'd rather give money to clubs like Leighton Orient than, you know, the big, because for every Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea that we have. The little teams at the bottom, like Leighton Orient, which is a small club with a loyal following, but whose fans are really suffering right now because of an absolutely incompetent and dysfunctional owner. And I'd hate to think that they're going to go under. And I hope every little bit that, you know, objective fans can give to the cause to keep them alive, so that their fans can watch their beloved little Orient. I think the better the football is for it.
Okay, very good. That's a great way to end this show. Thank you for doing that, Giannis. I'm not going to give a final thought because I like your final thought. So we'll just end with that, my friend. Great show. Thank you, as always, my friend.
Thank you, matey. Always a pleasure. And let's come on, you whites. Let's stuff the Lancashire. Let's just say Leeds United from Lancashire, because the Yorkshiremen hate the Lancastrians. So let's just say the good old Lards United from Lancashire.
Oh, boy. All right. All right, great stuff there, my friend. But it is time to go. For Giannis Chinas, I'm Russ Goen. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.